What's up, everybody? How's it going? And welcome to another episode of Café LeBlanc Podcast. Continuing the series of Let's Talk Manten, we have Spencer from Shin Megami Tensei Network. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing exhausted. I'm just, I'm living in a spectral plane of when I'm not working, I'm working on my own personal stuff. When I'm not working on personal stuff, I want to play games, but then I realize it's 11 o'clock at night and I need to get sleep so I can wake up at 6 in the morning. Dude. It's a never-ending hell.
I feel you. I started a new job like 3 months ago, and it's an hour and a half drive, and it's been so fucking exhausting. So I drive to work, and I work... And then I do YouTube shit and everything. So by the time that that's all done, like you said, it's like 11, 12. And I'm like, I have to go to sleep. And then I have to wake up again. And I have to work. And I have to do the same thing ever again. So yeah, today's my day off, actually. So I'm like semi-rested, except for the fact that I recorded 3 podcasts back to back to back. So now I'm like...
So there's never really a day off.
Yeah, there's never really a day off. The days off is like the days where I do all my videos. So... sometimes I hate when Atlas drops news, and I'm like, motherfuckers, you couldn't done that like a day ago. Like, I have to do stuff.
That's what's like the hard part about having like a hard schedule is like, you're inevitably gonna miss something unless like your life is just to do everything.
Right, exactly. Especially like right now with like the release of Shin Megami Tensei V coming up pretty soon, I'm always like on the edge. I'm like, oh man, I have to keep an eye on Twitter. So somebody shares like whatever the news may be of whatever's going on at this time, you know, and then there's the Persona 5 25th anniversary, and then there's all this other stuff, and I'm like, oh, here, I have to keep an eye on everything. Luckily for us, like, it's like...
So here's a good question for you, because I want to ask you this, because are just coming off of that Volume 3 news thing. Did you have any idea that was happening? Because that had to be one of the least advertised live streams they've ever done.
You know, I knew about it, but I only knew about it because I follow the Twitter, and I have, like, the notifications on high. So, like, I believe they did one post about it. And I was like, oh, I'll keep an eye on it so I can advertise it. But then, like, they didn't talk about it again, you're right, until it was ready to go. And I was like, oh, shit. So I was streaming Devil May Cry, and I had to stop everything. I had to, like, literally in the middle of recording that, I was just, like, I was doing the thumbnail real fast, and I was just like, I have to hurry up because it's going to come out in, like, 5 minutes or whatever amount of time I had. So, yeah, you're right. I think this one, it was kind of, like, the least advertised one so far because there was a lot of hype, especially for that first one. They were, like, telling everybody and their mother. So, yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I hadn't thought about it until you mentioned it, but they did take the sweetest time with this one, which it was good. I thought that this one was almost like you could have just dropped a trailer and that, instead of what they did with it. But, I mean, it's fine, I guess.
Well, like, see, I think the thing that everyone sort of forgets with these presents are they're not meant to be, like, really... They're not meant to be, like, a trailer, and they're not meant to really give you a lot of news. They're more meant to kind of be, like, let's recap the last month of news. And I think the way they go about it started really strong. Volume 2 was really, really weak, in my opinion, and I thought this latest one was good in the sense of we're really close to launch. Like, honestly, my only complaint with it was, like, once again, they keep picking Japanese-only fan questions, and they're the worst questions of all time. Whoever is in charge of picking questions for that is, like, what, like the definition of, like, a fucking clown. So it's like, yeah, man, like, these are the diehard questions we want to know. What are my difficulty choices?
You know, that's funny, but I think that was just a fake-out. I see it as a fake-out. So, but the first question that they did was literally the same as this one. It was just a follow-up. So they picked a question that was related to the DLC that they had already talked about. Because if you remember, they had previously talked about doing a difficulty DLC thing for, like, the easy one or whatever. So I feel like they should have done an even harder difficulty, like a merciless-style difficulty. an easy one that kind of like giving you like, oh, you know, like if you want to cry about it, but here's like the hardest one if you want to go the other extreme as well or something like that. That would have been like a good way to like advertise both at the same time. I'm sure they're going to do another hard difficulty or something too. It'd be fine if they do or not. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was fine, but like you said, I feel like they even advertise other stuff, but the questions are always kind of like, you know that you have more fans than the, and then I think the Japanese fans are also like really, really easy on Atlus.
Well, I think it's easy. It's easy to assume based off what they pick, but like there are just as many negative fans in the West as there are in the East. And no, stuff, but so you know, it's just whatever gets shown in the presentations for sure.
You know, on the, for example, on the 25th anniversary of Persona, whenever that came up, I was like, man, I want to see what the Japanese reactions are like. And I saw some people going, you know, like, kind of like, oh, I think I remember reading one. I was, like, literally, like, expecting, they were, like, expecting something else. Of like, would it be nice to have another, you know, another announcement, but I guess this one's fine, or something like that. And then somebody else was just sucking them up, like, oh, thank you so much for the, like, because there are some fans that they're, like, they're like thanking them for the announcement. I'm like, well, it also makes sense because if you're a Japanese fan, you got a lot for the 25th anniversary so far. You get the concert. You get to go to the Animate building in.
But you know what they didn't get? Didn't get those sweet wallpapers.
Oh yeah, those sweet wallpapers, right? They got three things, right, for the 25th anniversary. The first announcement. They got, what did they get? I forget. They got the anime, the free anime, right? So they got to actually go in a physical building where they can look at artwork from the 25th anniversary and the cosplay that you can actually buy at that particular store, and you get the anime, right, for free, which is pretty good. Like, I feel like all that stuff is actually pretty cool for like a celebration kind of thing, like the first announcement. But we don't live in Japan and we don't get any of those things, so.
No, it's like, it's again going back to the exclusive stuff of like that ending of yesterday's presentation was really cool, seeing all the merchandise now that all the official merch has been announced,
right?
And then you realize the only thing we're getting in the West is the steelbooks. It's like, okay,
right? I think it's kind of shit, but it's fine. Like, I get it, they're still like appealing more towards Japan and everything. But there's a reason why Japanese companies...
Japanese physical game sales are still really, really prominent in terms of retailers take their, like, retail bonuses very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, look at all the different places in Japan, like your HMVs, your even like 7-Eleven, like Cone Beanies will be selling video games. Like,
right.
It's not just like you're going to your video game stores to find it. Like, there are tons of stores. Amazon obviously is a big one, but like a lot of these retail exclusives are mostly brick and mortar ones. So like your GEO and other things like that, they have to really be competitive with each other of getting those pre-order bonuses, especially because in Japan, games aren't like $60 over here. They're like 70, 80, and even sometimes 90 or more.
Right. Yeah.
So people forget that too. Yeah. It's just a much, much more competitive market. Whereas like, let's look at Shin Megami Tensei 3, for example, just to make it the last major release, really. In the West, the only place you could buy that in a brick-and-mortar store, so not online, was GameStop.
Yeah.
That's it. Maybe mom-and-pop shops if you have them near you, but... no, I'm sorry, Best Buy also had them. GameStop and Best Buy, but Target did not have them, Walmart did not have them. It was one of those things of... We're just looking at it like, well, we have limited space. We don't need to carry everything, which is definitely not the case in Japan. Like, if you go to a game store in Japan, they're going to have, if possible, everything they can sell you.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think it's a different market overall. Like, we have, in the United States at least, it's just such a big country. And even the biggest places don't have something like an Akihabara or something like that. You may have, like, sure, there are particular places where you can go, like, there are, like, technology stores or, like, Best Buy and everything, but we don't have, like, the equivalent to an Akihabara or, like, a Shibuya in the United States. You have a lot of big cities, but there's nothing to that extent or nothing particularly in that aspect of it. which, I mean, different market. That's how you have to see it. It's just a different market. And they approach it differently, like very, very differently. So, honestly, as a Japanese fan, or like a fan of Japanese things, it's always a disappointment. And that's one thing that I think I commented on a tweet. I don't remember whose tweet it was. It might have been yours. It might have been somebody else's. Because I think a lot of the fans, the big, like, you know, like, at least at the end of people that we are associated with, a lot of them were like, oh man, this announcement was shit. And my initial reaction was disappointment, but I wasn't disappointed on like, oh man, I expected Persona 6, because I think some people, whenever they saw my video, I think they thought I was talking about Persona 6. I'm like, no, I'm talking about, like, in general, like, as a Western fan, because when you look at anything West, anything Japanese that comes out in the West, we never get the attention to, unless you're maybe like Capcom or Square Enix, because these companies know their fans. There's a big Western fan base for those kind of games that they do. Even Final Fantasy and stuff, they start advertising. Even like they dropped trailers in English with Japanese subtitles. Like, so that's how big they know that their market is. But, I mean, you look at everything, like anime or something like that, and it takes, sometimes they never get translated, sometimes, like, the novels never come to the United States or anything like that. I don't know, it kind of sucks. Sometimes I'm like, I just need to learn Japanese, that's what...
No, see, then you'll, if you then learn Japanese, then you'll immediately be like, oh god, now I have an even larger possible backlog, then I'll never be able to finish.
No, but I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm always on the open mind of, like, I'm okay with having a big catalog of games that I need to play now because I speak Japanese, or like I read Japanese. But I don't know. It is what it is. You know, I'm sure one day Sega and Atlus are gonna see that the West can give as much money as Japan, or even Asia, because Asia still gets a little bit. Sometimes they do get some stuff that we don't get and everything. Especially like,
yeah, man, especially for like, yeah, especially like physical things. Like, just look at Fatal Frame next month. Only way to get it physically is in Asia.
Yeah, so like Asia being so close to Japan still gets a little bit more of attention on the market, because, you know, that's their secondary market. I think, like, you look at it, and then secondary market, the easiest thing for them too, is they don't have to translate in all these Asian languages. They only just do Chinese and maybe English. And that's about it. Like, how many times do you see games translating like Filipino or something like that? You know, it's typically just gonna be
really
like
good point.
English and Chinese, you know. So like, to them, like, it's also like such an easy market to approach that way, because whatever game is gonna come out in China, and how many Southeast Asian countries have Chinese as a language, you know, there's a good chunk of them. I don't know, it's a different market. One day, I'm sure us on the West, we're gonna get attention, you know, and maybe not soon, but someday.
Kind of on the topic of like saturating the market, I had a certain topic I wanted to talk to you about, but while I was doing research for it,
sure,
I found a subtopic I have to now address to you first. So the first thing I want to talk to you about, because you've been working on this channel, I would say, time, what do you think, like 2 years now?
Yeah, 2 years, about 2 years.
Okay, first off, we have a major problem I somehow did not know about. Why are there two other channels with the exact same name as yours?
Oh, what's up? Are there two other channels with the same name as
there them? Are literally two other The Midnight Channel.
Oh, really?
The Midnight Channel, not The Midnight Chanel. And hilariously enough, they are kind of in your market, one a little more than the other. But so were you aware of either of these two?
You know, I am aware of one of them, but it's a different, they do different stuff, though. They don't do the same things that I do. They dub.
Are you thinking of the comic dub?
Yeah.
Okay, so that one came up first, and then the other one is a guy who has been making videos pretty much for a while. It's like, it's called The Midnight Channel, but it's just kind of like a general like YouTube channel and thing for it. But I just like wanted to like kind of think. So your thoughts on that? Because you've been making stuff more than both of them have. Mm-hmm. Is that like a weird one of when you see someone else kind of using your channel name because you have like well, as much of a brand as you can, because obviously you don't own the Midnight Channel, and like it's your inception for it. But like, so when you have stuff like that happen, like, have you had any moments of like, should I reach out to them? Like, should I change my name? Like what goes through your head when you like see that?
There can only be one. No, I mean, I don't really care too much. The cool thing about naming my channel the Midnight Channel is because. So it's a pun, really. To me, like, I'm like, I was just thinking, I was like, what if there was a channel about Persona that it was the Midnight Channel and it's a YouTube channel? So to me, it's like, that's really just like a funny thought that I had. And then I was like, now I have to go for it. You know, although initially I wasn't trying to make a channel, a YouTube channel. I was just trying to make that one video that I did about Fallout. But then my sister was like, "Oh, you should do more videos." And I was like, you know, I guess I'll make another video if I have other subjects." And I started coming up with a bunch of ideas for things. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't actually know about the other Midnight Channel. I knew about the dub one. They dub like comics and that kind of stuff. But it's not one person. It's like a group of voice actors or like people that like to do voices or something. So. I don't know.
Everyone's chasing after that "Hi, I'm Daisy" money. One day there will be a Persona 5 comic dub that everyone remembers as much as the P4 one.
Yeah. I actually never seen those. I'm weird, I guess. I'm not into like fan fiction or fan things that they do. The closest that I will be into will be like fan art. And that's even like I just like fan art on like Twitter or something like that. Just pictures, but not like fan comics or anything. I'm not into that kind of stuff. And I see a lot of that on Twitter. Like, people will do like their own comics or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. But I don't understand like the market for that, like how people like are into that kind of stuff or anything like that. But it's not my kind of stuff. I know people like that kind of stuff. And I've seen channels dedicated just on like funny bits of like Persona or anything like that. But I don't know. I'm just not into that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I wouldn't even know where to begin to talk about that. Are you into that kind of stuff? Like, you like the little comics or that kind of stuff?
It's tough because there's different aspects of it. Like, I always find it interesting to a certain level, but like, kind of, you bring up another good point, that I wanted to ask you about. I find it really interesting looking at something like, on a way, like, these are two very similar spectrums, but one is obviously doing way more than the other. Like, look at someone like a Faz, or even like, on the lesser extent, like a Harry Type C or whatever their name is. Their whole channels are, they just upload stuff related to Persona. Mm-hmm. Don't do any original content. Like, Faz's stuff, for example, is literally just, like, them ripping assets that weren't used in the game and putting it, like, public in the consumption or, like, mods and other things like that. For a channel like that, which is funny because both of those have a ton of subscribers, like, for me, I've thought about it. I'm like, dude, that'd be so boring for me because, like, honestly, if my whole thing was I'm just doing videos, I'm just kind of putting out videos, like, I think some of my most boring videos are like hilariously when I like put like a trailer leaf that gets pulled down or something. like the ones that obviously get like a lot of views, I think are like really, really boring just because it's like, well, I had no creative input into it. I don't find that very fun. Whereas like doing a video, whether it be a review or whether it be an editorial, I think is a lot more fun for it. But it's like, I always want to like get like one of those like people on there because it's like, you're constantly like a great example would be like Thanatos on Twitter. It's like, Thanatos has got almost like 20,000 subscribers, if not more or whatever.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just, they are very well known for just messing around with the Atlas 3D models, you know?
Right,
like,
yeah.
They
yeah.
aren't making the models. They're not doing anything really with them. They're just basically kind of just, hey, look at this thing. like it's just one of those funny things of like, hey, let's put these two models together in a background and go for it. But like, whilst for something like that, I have zero interest in. I find it so fascinating how not only there are thousands of people who are interested in looking and requesting that stuff, but then someone would be motivated enough to do that like every day for like multiple years.
Yeah, it just depends on like somebody out that's gotta be into that kind of content, right? But to me, it's just like the making of that content. But I guess it's like you said, like there's people for everything. Like I see like Fast, what he does with like the clips that he posts and everything, and I'm like, that's cool and everything. But I don't know like how much of that I'll say, like I'll be like into that. But then again, you do something like a reaction, right? I was just talking to Rising Oblivion the other day because we're talking about reaction stuff. I'm like, sometimes like you will work really hard on a video and it doesn't do good, but then you see you do a reaction to like the latest Shin Megami Tensei 5 trailer or something, and you get a ton of views out of that, and you're like, man, that kind of hurts, because like to me, like that's like the lowest kind of content creation you can do is just reacting to something, because other than putting your input into it, you're not really doing much, right? And even that...
See, like, that's why I like really putting a different twist on it. Like, I find it really funny how... like, a good example. So that the Presents Volume 3 last night. You, me, and a whole bunch of other people on YouTube did live reacts to it. And for some dumb reason, even though I am by far not anywhere near the most subscribed person on YouTube, I have the most views on it. And what's really funny about it is I think there's like little dumb aspects of it to go into it. I've definitely set a standard of like I'm reacting to every one of these live things live as I can. Like me and Adam have just tried to just do like, you know what? Assuming both of us are still breathing, let's make a point to always do these live. But we take it with like, so like we don't do it like the super analytical line, because you look at yours or you look at someone else's videos, it's like it's rare that someone's video of a reaction for a 9-minute video is going to be under 30 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And then like ours is like an hour and 40 because we spent half of it talking about One Piece. And it's just one of those fucking things of like, we're not there because we want to watch it live and dissect it for an hour. We're just there like you're shooting the shit with your friends. So like, I think that's kind of an interesting thing of like, there's that like almost expectation of like, hey, you're coming over to your friend's house, you're watching E3, and you're talking about new trailers, and then whatever comes up afterwards. So
yeah.
I think that kind of vibe, because what's really funny is like, it would be one thing if like, I did that, and then after the halfway mark, everyone dips out. But what's really funny is looking at like analytics and stuff, it's like maybe you lose like 5%, but people just stick through because they're like, oh, whatever, I've made it this far.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I never done good with live streams. And I don't know why. I'm just not the person for that. But when it comes to live streams
that was
in general...
That was one of the other things I wanted to talk to you about, because like I wonder if you've ever kind of thought of this for it. Do you ever see that there are so many people doing similar things all at the same time that it's going to inevitably just kind of lead to people kind of eating each other?
Yeah, like cannibalizing. Yeah, I thought about that too. Actually, that same thought ran my mind the other day. But I'm like, but I still have to do content about it, right? Because I mean, like, although I don't know what the percentage is, I'm sure there's amount of people that want us to hear your personal input on something, especially when it's new or news or something like that. So I'm like, I'm still gonna do it because of my audience. Like, I'm sure somebody out there still cares how I feel about this particular trailer, right, or whatever. But you're right, I do feel like having 10 people or 20 people reacting to the same kind of content at the same time does cannibalize itself. Like, it may not do any good to like just react to it or something. I don't know. But then again, I do feel again that there are people that do care about how you particularly feel about a subject or a video or something. So I don't know. It's a good comment, but
How about this though? So, what do you think if this? Because a lot of us that do similar things, where we all either talk to each other more than others or less than others, but for the most part, we've all interacted a time or two online in like private forums or in public ones. So, let's say what's stopping? I'm just gonna pull four people out of nowhere. So, let's say tomorrow, you, Rising, King, and David, and like V. Just say, fuck it, we're going to make one big channel of all five of ours. So instead of making 5 videos a week on the same thing and getting like a couple hundred views, we just say, hey, let's do either all of these together in a like kind of group talk thing, or maybe you get a video on Monday, he gets a video on Tuesday, and so on and so forth. Like, what would kind of like what would be like? So let's say if like one of them comes up to you tomorrow with that idea, like what would be your first thought of like, hey, let's try and make like a super channel similar to like like the only one I can always think of, which is hilarious because it crashed and burned really really hard, but that's for personal reasons. Like, do you remember Normal Boots?
No. What is that?
Like forever ago, like JonTron, Did You Know Gaming, and a whole bunch of other people, I think, like, all made Normal Boots, which was like, oh yeah, and the Completionists and stuff. They're like, hey, we all have these big audiences. Why don't we just come together and do stuff on this own kind of umbrella name and whatnot, and like work together to like try and signal boost each other, as opposed to just having everyone guest star in everyone's shows all the time. So, like, what would you think if like someone came up to you with that idea tomorrow?
I don't know. It just depends on whether the audience cares for something like that. Because the other thing that I realized that is, I don't know if you saw, there was a ranking. I think you did. There was a ranking of like everybody's content, like a bunch of Megaten content creator, like 30 of them or something like that. And I saw that, and it was funny and interesting to see, like, the viewers, you know, like people that have seen your content and how they feel about it and like ranking and everything. I'm like, that'll be cool, but like, also there are people that don't particularly like you, you know, like there are some particular people that don't particularly like me. So something like that will be cool if everybody was well liked on the same umbrella. But some people will be like, oh, the minute channel is there, fuck it, I'm not subscribing to the channel now. Or something like that.
I need to find Kuro haters. I need to find the people who immediately see you and are like, man, fuck this guy.
there was this one guy. I recently did a video of like games that are like Persona. You know, like, not particularly clones, because clones, I feel like now is like such a negative connotation to the word. To me, clones back in the day was just like, okay, there are games that are like that. Like, for example, a lot of people look at games like Dark Souls, right? And they have like their style of game. And then everything else is like Dark Souls clone, right? But I'm like, no, there's a bunch of games that are also difficult, but they're not necessarily clones of Dark Souls. Like Neo, for example, I feel like they gained their own identity, although they're still very much the style of Dark Souls. They also have like their own things that they do uniquely to the Neo world and everything. So, like, at this point, would you consider Neo a clone of Dark Souls or just a game that is like Dark Souls, right? So my idea with that video was just talking about games that do things similar to Persona or even different to Persona, but I would say like a Persona enjoyer will still enjoy this game, right? So like I talked about a bunch of different games, and I did it because I did a video that is one of my biggest regrets on the channel. It's the video that I talk about clones of Persona, and one of the games that I talked about was a game, I think you know the game, a lot of people don't know this game, it's called Blue Reflection.
Yeah,
you know the game. Personally, I played the game. I played about 10 hours of it, and I wasn't really into it. So, you know, like, when I play a game and I'm not into it, I just drop it. Like, I don't particularly, like, shit on it or anything like that. I just say, hey, look.
Kuro, I know what your problem was. It's because you didn't play the Japanese-only PlayStation Vita version of Blue Reflection. That was the problem.
Probably. So I played it, and I was like, you know, it's fine. What I enjoyed wasn't bad, but it didn't push me to continue playing. And that happens to a lot of people, I think. But anyway, so I mentioned that I was like, well, you know, like, there's also the anime, and I also tried the anime, but I still had the same issue, so I dropped it too. So playing the game and watching the anime, I was still kind of like, I think it's still a cool idea. I just didn't think that I need to watch it or anything like that. But people started commenting on the video that was like, they're like, oh, you gotta watch the anime. It gets better after episode 12. And in my mind, I'm like, well, if something gets better after half of this, because the whole anime is 24 episodes long. So if something needs 12 episodes to get good, then maybe it's just not as good as you think it is. because I feel like 12 episodes is a lot of asking for, especially for a 24 episode anime, where half of that is just on build up for the good part. Now there, I can be, you know, like, it doesn't mean that every anime is bad that has that particular thing, but I feel like 12 episodes is a big ask, because that's a few hours of your time just to wait for it to get interesting or something. So, you know, like, to me, like, the reasoning is I don't want to force myself to enjoy something that I'm clearly not enjoying, right? So, like, instead of just shitting on it, I comment on it for 2 minutes or like a minute in the video and I move on. You know, like, I'm not like, oh, this is the worst game ever. You know, nobody can't play this game. No, I mention it because it's a game like Persona. And I feel like if you're interested in magical girls and, you know, Persona mechanics, you should play the game because you're into that. But I am not, so I don't play it. You know, like, so, like, to me, it doesn't have to be A or B. It can be like, if you don't enjoy it, you don't enjoy it. If you enjoy it, good. Like, there's a lot of people that don't like Persona 3 or like Persona 5 or something like that. And I'm not like, oh man, how dare you not enjoy the game that I enjoy? You know, I don't care if you like it or not. You know, like, it's a free country. You can do whatever you want. If you don't enjoy something, I don't care. You know, like, it doesn't personally affect me that you don't enjoy something. You know? So in that aspect, they were, some people even unsubscribed. There was like two people that were like, oh, because I said after, there was a lot of, I didn't even finish my story, sorry. So after that, there a lot of comments, I was like, fine, you know, tell you what, I'll watch the full anime, but once I'm done with it, I'll give you an honest review. You know, and to me, that was like the way to kind of, okay, I can make content about it, but also I can tell you why I liked or didn't like the anime. You know, like, if you're telling me that episode 12 is the best episode and the anime just turns out like the best fucking thing I've ever seen in my life, I want to let you know I think you're right, you know? So, like, to me, it was just a way to tell you, okay, fine.
Now I'm dying to know what you thought of Final Fantasy 13. Now I just really want you to tell me your 13 thoughts.
So I was just like that, but people took that as I was going to shit on it because I said I was going to review it, and I'm like, no, I didn't mean that at all. I just meant that once I finish watching it, I'll review it so I can tell you how I feel about it. And people were just mad that I said that I was going to review it, and I don't understand why. Like, I was still confused about it. I was like, what about me telling you I want to review it is bad? You're asking me to watch it, right? So why can't I not make it into content? To me, that's a good way to, like, tell you, okay, so, you know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe you're right. Episode 12 is the best fucking episode I've ever seen, and it makes me so fucking happy, and it's the best thing I've ever seen in my life, you know? So I don't know. I may be wrong, and I'm okay being wrong. I think some people, when it comes to your videos, like, I think people just think that you cannot change your mind once you say something. I'm like, no, I can be wrong a bunch of times. And if you tell me I'm wrong and I find out that I'm wrong, like, then I'm wrong. You know, like, I don't have any qualms, like, having any issues of being right or wrong. So, I don't know. People think I don't have that, you know, like, I have that flexibility, I think. That if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm fine. Final Fantasy 13, you ask, right? I only played the first one.
Well, mostly as a joke, because that game famously, people were like, it's only good after like literally like 30 hours, which is definitely not true. But it was one of those funny things of like, there were people who like shit on that game until chapter 11 of 13, and they're like, okay, it's good now, but I had to play through 30 hours of the game.
No, to me, 13 is good in some aspects. Like, I think it did good for the time period. But my problem with 13 is that I did not like a lot of the characters. I just didn't connect with them. Like, it's not even like, oh, the writing is bad or the story is bad. I just didn't connect with them. I didn't like Lightning as a character or what's that one kid with the silver hair?
Hope. Oh, well, so... Yeah. Hope was blonde, but yeah, Snow blonde. Was the silver hair one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hope is the one I think. Is that the one I'm thinking about? Hope. I have to look.
Yeah,
it up.
Yeah, he had the big green boomerang.
Oh yeah, him. Him. Is he not silver hair?
I mean, I think of it more as blonde, but hey, tomato, tomato.
Is that not silver? I'm looking at a picture. I still feel like his hair is silver or white, like a silver color. Is that not silver?
Oh, that's blonde to me, man. If anything, that's I'd even blonde. Call it like dirty blonde.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. The important thing is, I didn't like the kid. I thought he was kind of annoying. But there's some characters that I did like. Like the one kid with the chocobo, with the baby chocobo.
Oh, Saz, yeah.
Yeah, he was a cool character. So overall, like, there were some characters that I liked, some characters that I didn't like. And I was fine. Like, I was fine with it, but I wasn't too heavily invested to continue playing. So after the first one, I was like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I enjoyed what I played, but I don't feel the need to continue playing the second or the third one. So nothing about it really screamed like, oh, man, you gotta play this and you're gonna love this for the end of the world or anything. I thought it was just okay. Some people do hate on it or whatever. But I don't particularly think it's the worst Final Fantasy game or anything like that. I just feel kind of like it was fine. Not the worst, but not the best either. Do you like it?
Oh my, I loved 13. I reviewed all three of them, and it was such like a thing of like, in the moment, I was like so into it. I mean, I still am. Like, I'm always like in the camp of like, man, they've got to re-release those on like current gen like anytime now, because that trilogy is really, really good. I just think a lot of people haven't really touched it, and no, it is one of those funny things of, especially now that it's on like Game Pass for PC and stuff, like people have been playing it a lot more and be like, oh yeah, this is really, really good.
Yeah, I think it's
fine. Kind of bouncing off like a similar subject though. I was curious, because you have so many channels now. Because including your streaming thing, what do you have? Four channels: your main channel, your Espanol channel, the anime podcast one, and your live streams.
Yeah. So I have four channels total.
So, like, for you, especially juggling multiple channels and multiple uploads all the like throughout the week and stuff. Do you have, like, have you ever kind of, like, sat down and thought to yourself of, like, okay, how long, not like how long, because I think that almost makes it feel like you're almost expecting it. What would it take for you to maybe put more focus on one over the other if it ever, like, got to a point like that? Or would you always try and put as equal amount of work into them as possible?
So I don't do equal amount of work in all of them. So my main channel is obviously the mainnet channel. You know, I do most of my uploads there. I put most of my stuff there. So the anime channel is just a podcast channel for anime. So that one is just literally once a week. I just sit down, record, and that's it. The Spanish channel, I upload once a week on that one. That one is my biggest, whatever I think is really important for me to upload in it, that's what I do. It's just once a week, just one video that I feel like is very important or significant, that I feel like the Spanish people will need, that's the one that I give them. Sometimes it can be like something that I never done before, or it can be something that a video that I did like 10 months ago that I feel like I'm like, oh, you know, people are going to like it or whatever. The Spanish community is pretty cool too. They've been really nice to me as far as like, oh, you know, like some of them get really happy that they see a Spanish persona channel or like a Atlas channel, because I don't know any of them. I know there's one, but Persona Spain is more like a Twitter, like a.
Yeah, because you've worked with the Persona Spain community a little bit, right?
Yeah, I do. I work with them, and I work with the other network. What is it called? Velvet Network.
Is that what? Yeah, Velvet Network. Yeah. Hagane and all them. Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, I talked to both of them, and I try to interact with them as much as possible. Cause it's cool, you know. It's good to see like other communities and what they do and everything. But Persona Spain is more of a community than a channel, because the only times that they will upload videos on their YouTube channel, it's when they do like reviews or like a big news thing. Does that make sense? So it's not like the same. So them and I are not really cannibalizing each other or anything like that, because our content is significantly different.
I mean, honestly, the international speaking audience is still so small. Yeah, like it would be very, very hard. But like, I think by comparison of a lot of different aspects, though, like it was extra interesting, I think, when that content creator tier list came out, not really like, oh, where did people rank others and whatnot. I mostly thought it was interesting of how many people, for example, let's say, would follow me, then listed me on the, oh, I have no idea who you are, or would be posting on, like, the Facebook group or something for SMTN, and then being like, oh, I know who, like, four people are and no one else.
Yeah,
just because it gets to the point of, like, I think it's less of a, oh, F whoever is on this list who I don't want to watch. A lot of it is just, like, you either have no idea that they do stuff like that, or, they have no idea that that's what they do, or it's just such a wide kind of pool and stuff, everything. Like, it would be hard to find that someone who's like, oh, I watch just as much, let's say, like, Macca as, like, Gabby or whatever. Like, it would be very, very, like, kind of rare to find, like, those people who put as much time into everybody.
There are some viewers that I see them everywhere all the time. Like, for example, shout out to this girl named Heather. I don't know what her last name is, but I seen her on your...
Heather Collins?
What was that?
I think it was Heather Collins, the one you're thinking
of? Heather Collins. Yeah. She comes to my streams. She goes to King's, David's, Rising's. I've seen her in yours, too. I've seen her in a bunch of them. So I'm like, at least like there are a few that I recognize that I see them on. Like, Demicro, for example. You see him everywhere, too. And he does his own content, too. So there are some people that do go around and like, but there's like, there are far few in between that are really like invested in the community. Personally, I show up every once in a while and just to say hi to you guys. I'm not there for the content. I'm there for the people. Like I'm there. Like I'll show up on your podcast and just like, I say hi, I put it on the background. I don't really like chat much or anything like that. But to me, it's just for support. You know, I just show up with you guys for like support and.
Oh yeah, I tell people all the time this, like, no disrespect at the very least, but like especially because I've been doing this for almost like 10 years, the last thing I want to do is listen to someone who's not me talk about what I just talked about. Like it's the last thing I ever want to do in my free time.
Yeah, and that's like, again, like no disrespect to anybody, unless you're doing it in a very entertaining kind of thing, like Macca, for example, or there's somebody else. They do their content sometimes goes on things that I don't really talk about often or anything like that. So I'm like, I mean, I'll watch to your video because like one, Macca's videos are entertaining, but also like LaRusse, for example, he doesn't talk about the same stuff that I do. It's still Shin Megami Tensei, but like he'll talk about like the history of Strange Journey for like 2 hours, and I'm like, hell, give me that. I'll sit down and like watch that. You know, like that's not something that I want to talk about. So. I'm still interested. I'm still curious to see what they have to say or something. But when it's like you're like exactly right. Like if it's like the exact same thing that I just reacted to 5 minutes ago, like I don't want to sit down and listen to the stuff. Like we're bound to say almost the same things too. So the less influence I can be when I'm talking about my own stuff, the better for me, I think, and the better for the viewers too, because. If we're watching each other's contents, we're bound to like mimic each other or like say the same kind of stuff, and it's not gonna be productive for anybody, I think, if we end up doing that. Because to people,
no, and I mean I like, and because there is that like special kind of line of trying to think of like how to like phrase this. So like, there's like obviously certain personality types. Like you and me do not talk in the same sort of way or cover things in the same sort of aspect. And everyone kind of has like a different angle to bring that the other ones can't. Like you can touch an international audience in a way that only I can truly ever offend them with my terrible pronunciation of anything outside of English. Whereas like I like to assume that I have a pretty good breadth of industry knowledge and some behind the scenes stuff that hopefully kind of clarify things of whatnot. But like at the same time, it's like people come to everyone for so many different things. Like the fact that, and I've talked to people like this, I always find it so funny. Like someone will be like, oh, like the top dogs I go to for any of like my Atlas content or whatever will be, like Gnarly or Johnny is Awesome. I'll be like, okay, so it's a guy who plays challenge runs and a guy who just does Let's Plays. So it's like, it's one of those things of like, I have no interest in challenge runs, and I absolutely loathe the idea of ever doing a Let's Play. So it's like, it's just so out of my spectrum. But then at the same time, it's like one of those things of like, you look at the numbers though, like there are tons and tons of people who want to just watch like this guy play a game back to back to back.
And, you know, there's different people. Again, it goes back to it. I feel like there's different audiences for different things. And luckily enough, I think most of us do our own thing most of the time, except for when things come out that are like news related or something like that. But on a regular basis, you know, like your regular podcast, when it's not news, it is significantly different from what I do with like discussion videos and stuff. We all do our own little thing that is, I think, unique to each other's personality. Or
do you ever have a worry about it? Because I've been called out on this once, and it was really funny because it definitely was not something that was on purpose at all. Have you ever like worried about doing similar content too close to someone of like in a review? No one's gonna really call it a review, but let's say, oh, I want to make a video like here's similar to your thing. Like, oh, I want to make a video about Persona not clones or like other recommendations and stuff like that. Like, have you ever had moments of wanting to do a video and then thought, ah, someone else probably did that, or like, oh, that's probably too close to another idea?
Yeah, I think sometimes that happens because it's bound to happen at some point. I have like over 200 discussion videos on Persona in my channel. So sometimes even myself, I'm like, I already talked about this, or did I not talk about this and I just feel like I did before? Or like things like that. Like sometimes I'll look at a video that I recently did, and then I'll look at David, because David and I do a lot of similar kind of discussion videos. So I'll look at his stuff and I'm like, oh man, that's really similar to what I was just thinking of discussing, you know, or like a similar topic. So I'm like, sometimes I'll message him and I'm like, hey, I'm about to do this video, and I noticed that you have a similar video. Are you okay with me doing it? Or like, I don't want to like copy each other's videos or anything, but at least I want to let you know I'm going to drop a video that is extremely similar to you, at least on title. You know, like I still won't watch it because I don't want to be influenced by his thoughts on how he felt about a thing. But at the same time, I still want to let him know. I'm like, hey, I saw you made a video like this. I have already, and like sometimes I even have the thumbnail already done. I'll like send it to him. I'm like, yeah, look, this video, I already thought about it, but you already made a video about it. So are you okay with it? Because I don't want to offend anybody. Or like, what I worry about, maybe a comment of like somebody's like, oh, you're ripping off this person or something. But luckily I never had somebody comment it or anything like that. I don't feel like I'm ripping off anybody because I don't consume Persona content. Like outside of news, I don't sit down and watch other people's things about it. In fact, in Megaten in general, I don't really watch Megaten content in general. Even before I was a content creator, quote unquote, I hate that word, but I wasn't really into a lot of gaming stuff. So, like, I guess to this day, I still don't know how people do Let's Plays or anything like that, because I never sit down and watch them. So, like, when I do my thing, I'm like, I don't even know if that's, like, that's what people do or, like, talk. I just literally continue to talk when I play. But, like, I don't know what other people do on their things. I probably should, just for, like, for information or something like that, so I can learn more about what people do. But I really don't consume that kind of stuff. I like to watch other kind of content on YouTube that is not gaming.
Oh, I get that for sure. And I mean, like, my subscription feed is so different than everyone else. I know, like, I hate, with like a burning passion, so many of the YouTubers who do. And it is so funny because like the ones that I hate watching are the ones that are like the most popular. Like the guy who's like, I'm gonna look in the camera and we're gonna talk about fucking this weird GameCube game from 2004, and I'm gonna make jokes about it. I'm like, I really don't want that. But like mine are like, it's a lot of news, it's a lot of discussions, it's a lot of like deep dives. Like I love retrospectives, I love really digging deep, and I love learning stuff, and I love like digesting news through my YouTube feed. But like I look at my friends and stuff for it. But yeah, it's like the people who are like I'm gonna like list off names. I don't even like know who or what they do. Like, I have no idea what Nintendo does. I have no idea what the heck Nitro Rad is. But like, all these people who like are really, really big, and just because of like the style of their video for that, like, I find it funny. Of like, I don't even look at it like, oh, that's interesting. They're really big. I should try and maybe think about that to like get more subscribers. Like, for me, it's like I would just not like to make those kind of videos where it's just like there are such a wealth of other people on YouTube who are just always trying to like be the next blah blah blah, like of like way back when, even of like, so, like, I don't even remember, like, let's just say, so first was AVGN, then there was JonTron, then there was Game Grumps, and then there was like whatever, and even now you can almost say with like Scott the Waz and stuff for it, but like for every like 1,000 Scott the Waz clones channels there are out there, I'm like, I'd rather just kind of make my own corner in the internet, because like at the end of the day, I never care about views. I never make any money from any of this anyway. I just enjoy putting stuff out there, talking to people, and doing things like that for it. Because, like, what's really funny is, like, I just hit my first video to hit over 100,000, and it was just for a stupid video I made in, like, maybe 20 minutes. And the best part about it was it's still getting, like, crazy amount of views. Absolutely, I've seen zero subscriber bump, and I get no money from it because it's using music from Curb Your Enthusiasm. But I love that that's my most viewed video, because, like, before that, I was the first channel to have the Persona 5 Strikers trailer still up.
Yeah. Oh, so I remember. I remember.
Yeah, first Atlas posted it, and then it got yoinked. Yeah. And then I was the first trailer for it up there. And it was at around 99K for, like, a couple of months. And I was like, man, I wouldn't care if this was, but I would like something else to, like, beat 100K first. And I just thought it was so funny. Yeah, like, it wasn't a serious video, but it was at least something that, like, I felt personally invested into. Whereas, like, that being 100K first, I'm happy about, as opposed to, like, some just, like, stupid re-upload.
Right, yeah. There was a video that I, in the Spanish channel, speaking of the Spanish channel that we were doing earlier, there is one video that, so I made a video talking about the colors for Persona 6, kind of like talking about what colors we could get, and somebody commented with the stupidest thing I ever read. It was, it has to be green like Shrek, and I read that, I'm like, well, that's a fucking dumb idea, but I was like, you know what, it's dumb enough that I want to make a meme about it. So I did the very beginning of Shrek, where he opens the door with the Smart Mouth song. What is that called? Smash Mouth. What is it called?
Oh, Smash Mouth.
All-Star. Smash Mouth. Yeah, All-Star. Yeah. And I just put the All-Star on the background. And as soon as he starts singing, the Persona 4, Persona 6, it just comes up, like the letters Persona 6, like the opening. And I just put Persona 6 opening. And that was it. But I posted it on my Spanish channel because this kid that commented green like Shrek. And I was like, that's dumb. But anyway, so I posted it and it got a ton of views. I think it's like my second most liked video. And I'm like, that's just a dumb thing, but whatever, I'll take it. And I hate it, but it's fine. Like, it was meant to be a joke for this kid. But he's just got a ton of views, so it's whatever, I guess. I'm not worried about it, but it's dumb that he got views. Because it was
so,
just...
That's so funny, though.
Yeah, it's just, it's like one of those things. Sometimes the dumbest videos, the thing get views, and I find it a little bit frustrating, because to me, I'm like, oh man, I really just... you know, when you work hard on a video and it doesn't do good, it's kind of a bit, what was it? 13 Sentinels video the other day. And I was really proud of that video because it was, I really stepped out of my comfort zone to make that video. It was in a different style and everything. And the video didn't do good views wise. It had like 100 views or something like that. So I was like, oh man. But then again, there's not a lot of people that are into 13 Sentinels.
No, God, no. Which you're making me feel much better about, because I have been planning on doing something in October, and I'm sure it'll get like 10 views for it, but it's like, I want to do something to follow up my video from last year about it, just to kind of talk about it. But yeah, there are those few things that, like, you know, are going to do like a fraction of whatever your audience cares about. But it is funny when there are those few sometimes like crossovers of like stuff that people cared about. Like I was really glad that people around me at least cared about Age of Calamity. People around me are interested still in Monarch. I'm very curious because I feel like people are forgetting it comes out next month. I'm very curious if Monarch. People are still going to care about Caligula 2. Because literally like less than a month out now.
Okay, oh, hold on. I think I got confused here. Caligula Effect comes out next month. Monarch
well,
comes out next
Well, technically they both
year.
Do. Monarch comes out next month in Japan, but right, March right. for the West. Whereas
right,
Caligula
right,
came out in July in Japan, but Caligula 2 comes out in October for the
yeah,
West.
Yeah, right. That's what I thought. I was just confused about it. I don't know. I'm gonna pass on Caligula unless Nice gives me a review code because I requested one. I mean, they may, because they did give me a review code for that, what was it?
Gaia?
Yeah, this Gaia 6, which they gave it to me, like, 3 weeks later after the game comes out. The game had already come out.
Hey, man, you never too late.
Right.
Never too late.
Like, nobody cared about that game by the time that it came out, so I was like, I played it, but I was like, should I even do a review on this? Like, I never even see anybody talked about it. So I just passed on the review and that, but I'm like, hopefully I get that for this, because I am curious about the improvements on, oh shit, we were just talking about it. I forgot the name of it. What's the name of that game we were just talking about? Not the scale, but Caligula. Caligula 2. I'm curious to see the improvements on the game. Because I do think Caligula, the first one, although it wasn't for me and I didn't complete the game, I still think it had a lot of potential. And I think maybe the budget limits some of the potential of the game. So I'm curious to see what the next one will be like with a little bit more money and maybe a more thorough gameplay, because I think that was one of the things that was kind of bugged me a little bit, the gameplay, but also like the overall look of the game, especially the first dungeon in the school. That was like killing me. I was like, once you get out of that first dungeon, it's better, but still. I mean, it's not a bad game. I don't think it's this really shit game or anything like that, but I also found that it was some aspects wasn't super solid, so hopefully that next one does a lot. Well, she does already look better. I watched two of the trailers and I actually quite enjoyed what I saw there. You finished that game, right?
Yeah, I have done the Vita one and the PS4 and one. Yeah, I really I'm excited for two, but obviously I think what's gonna happen is it's releasing at kind of a crowded time. If at best it has some good word of mouth at launch, but I'm kind of expecting it to just be like the last Caligula where it comes out and you either picked it up or you didn't.
Right, I think so too. So that's why I messaged the newest people. I'm like, look, I'm interested in reviewing this. So if you want to give me a review copy, I will definitely try to finish it and complete it on time. Cause I am curious about it. I think, and that goes back to what I was saying before. I am willing to give any game a chance. It's just up to the game itself to whether it can catch my attention or not. But I know everything that I've seen so far about Caligula, the second game, looks better than the first game. So if you guys are interested, definitely check Caligula. It does have a good people working behind that game. So it's not like some... I don't know. I think that the first game... didn't sell well, but it caught on later on, right? People started being interested in it because of Persona 5.
It did okay in Japan more than anything. I know in the West both releases were kind of meh, but I mean NIS did a really small print run of both, and they do deals all the time. It just made a lot more money in Japan once the anime came out. They did an anime shortly after release,
better. I think I watched like a few episodes of that, but it's funny because they did the anime before they did the remaster for the PS4, right? Is that right? The anime it doesn't have the new stuff that they added on the remaster.
No, it's just right? based off that original Vita version.
That's what I thought. Interesting stuff. I think it's a cool idea still. I always admire smaller studios that do some pretty good stuff. Like they also did. Oh, but this is not NIST. What is this other one? It has a really long ass name, and I forgot it. Even 1 second here. It's also a game that is kind of like. People keep telling me that it's like Persona. I don't think it is, but I think it's still pretty good.
I'm so ready to hear what this is, because I bet it's just going to be nothing like what I'm expecting.
It may be. I don't know. Wait 1 second. Let me see if I can find it here. It's still a good game. Oh, Tokyo Senado EX Plus.
Tokyo Sen... Oh my god, no. Can you, like, link me or spell this to me? I've never heard of this.
Oh, really?
Tokyo Senado?
Yeah. I may be butchering it because it is pretty like spelled S pretty weirdly.
With a P or?
Tokyo and then X. No, yeah, X A N A D U.
Oh my god. Bro, that's Xanadu. Yes, Tokyo Xanadu is a Falcom RPG. It's
yeah,
amazing.
Falcom, yeah, Falcom, yeah, Falcom, yeah. Yeah, I knew I was butchering that.
Tokyo. No, I love Falcom. Yes, Falcom is awesome. This is by the guys who did the Ease games and the Trails.
Right. Yeah, I knew I was butchering
Tokyo Xanadu. Tokyo Xanadu is very, very similar to Persona. That is definitely a perfect.
Except for the gameplay. The gameplay is nothing like Persona, so.
So confused at first. Wow, I was like, "Wow, you've stumped me. You found an RPG I don't know about. That's rare these days."
No. I knew I was saying it wrong, but I never said it. I never heard anybody say it before. So I'm like, I don't know what it's supposed to sound like.
I will say this though: this is another one of those funny ones of Tokyo Xanadu EX. It is a very different game, actually, than the original one. So the original one is a Vita-only game.
Right.
And Xanadu EX was on PC and PS4. It's kind of like an enhanced remake. So if you do, or if anyone out there is listening and is interested, they are definitely worth kind of checking out and comparing.
Yeah.
They are interesting technical differences.
And that's why I mention it, because it's a game look. It's a game worth checking out. I'm still in the middle of playing that one. I started playing it, and then I took a break from it because of just stuff came up, and I haven't. I'm really bad at getting back into games once I stop. To me, either I go all the way through it real fast, or I just don't finish them because I forget. I have bad memory. Like, and then the worst part is like I forget about it. So like. I have to get back, like, a play, like, from the beginning because I forgot the characters or the story or something like that. So, like, I have bad memory. I'm, like, I'm a bad memory person. I gotta focus and I'm finishing on one single run.
Are you good at remembering birthdays and anniversaries, I hope, at least?
No. Absolutely not. If it wasn't for Facebook, I would forget, like, 90% of my friends. Birthdays. Let alone when people do like anniversaries and stuff like that. You know, when people share like, oh, it's the 23rd anniversary of such and such game. I'm like, if it wasn't because of the 25th anniversary being such a big deal of Persona, I would have 100% forget or like the specific date or anything. Like, I forgot it was the 5th anniversary of Persona 5 until I saw the thing for it. So, like, don't depend on me for dates or anything like that, because I am going to forget. I don't remember any of that shit. I'm sure people out there are good at remembering stuff like that, but no, I use calendars for everything.
A lot of it for me is like I always have to like associate it with like different things. So like my birthday is the day I first met my wife. Her birthday is a day before my brother's, and our actual anniversary is in between my birthday and hers, like exactly. So like I use a lot of like kind of comparing like multiple things to kind of remember them.
Oh, I see. Well, that's a good way to kind of remember that and everything, I guess. That's a good way to remember those kind of stuff. I don't know. I'm just really bad with that kind of stuff. Maybe if I have some associations to certain things, I will be better at it. Like, I know, for example, my sister's birthday, the only way that I remember it is because it's the same month of my brother's. And if you add my day plus his day, then you get her day. So that's how I know it's complicated, but that's literally how I remember her birthday. And then my other sister's birthday is literally just a week after that. So I remember that because, like, it's my birthday and then it's my sister's birthday, like, week after that. So I remember that stuff. Even for that, I have to do things like that to remember because I don't know. I'm bad at remembering shit, everything in general. So what you been playing? Anything you've been, like, playing or watching or anything like that?
I have been, like, a mess for trying to catch up with stuff, mostly due to the fact that I'm trying to get a bunch of things done. I'm still trying to finish Judgment Remastered so I can start playing Lost Judgment, but then, like a complete idiot, I said, hey, Death Stranding came out again, let's buy that and play that, because you love Death Stranding, and God, I love Death Stranding. So Death Stranding has been my guilty pleasure of, I should be playing literally anything else, but the director's cut on PS5 is just so addicting and fun, I cannot put it down.
That's cool, that's awesome. I started playing Kena, the PlayStation 5 game.
Yeah, Bridge of Spirits.
Yeah, Bridge of Spirits. It's been cool. I don't really like the gameplay too much, but I love the way that the game looks. It's beautiful. The style, the art style, and the music and everything about it. It looks pretty cool. The gameplay is just not for me. I'm really trying to finish it so I can move on with it. It's not a long game either. I think it's like 10 hours long. I think I'm half the way through it, so... I'm very excited to finish that game because I liked it a lot, but the gameplay is rough. it's really rough.
And that, then, like, that's definitely what I heard. I was really close to getting it, but then that game did the kiss of death, me ever buying it, and that was, well, buying it at launch, yeah, was literally, I think it was the day of launch or the day before. They were like, hey, I know exactly what you're gonna say. A physical one's coming out, and I'm like, I'll wait.
Yeah, that pissed me off. That pissed me off, Spencer. Speaking of physical releases, I bought the game because I was like, okay, like, oh, you know, like, I'm ready to play it, and I was like, oh yeah, the I want to go ahead and download it now to play it at midnight, and as soon as I buy it, I saw a notification from the PlayStation thing that they are going to be doing a physical like a month later. I was like, you just killed that game. You just killed the game hard. And I was mad that I was like, what the hell? Like, why would you do this now? Like, and the funny thing is, behind the scenes, I've been emailing the guys. Like, I've been talking to them, through their email thing. Like, I've been talking to this girl in the, Jesus Christ, I forgot what her name is. Some girl. I've been talking to somebody in the studio, in the team of Kena regarding the game, because I asked for a review code, and we just kind of been emailing back and forth and everything. Spoiler alert, I didn't get it. Apparently, they got too many people to ask for it, but it's fine.
You should have asked for a Deathloop code. Apparently, I found out Deathloop had a bajillion codes, and Bethesda could not give them away enough.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Hey, actually, as one fellow PS5 owner to another, do you have a Deathloop? I cannot recommend that game enough.
I played the game. It's actually, I talked about it in another podcast, but I think that that game is revolutionary. Like, they did some really interesting creative things with that game. But I also, I'm not good at games. Like, in general, like, I'm not good. I'm not a good gamer. And I got stumped in the game. Like, I got stuck. I cannot get past the part that I am in. And the game has so many layers to it with the puzzle solving. And it really requires one, exploration, but also, like, remembering things. Like, codes and where you've been and where you need to go next. And, like, there is... 8 different people, the 9 different people, or wait, I don't remember if it's 8 or 9 people you have to kill.
It's the 8 visionaries.
There's 8 people you have to kill, and you have to do it in a specific order, and you kind of have to remember, like, their itineraries, and you kind of have to change, mess around with it, so you can get 2 people to be at the same time, and I get through half of the game, and then I fuck up because the one girl, your wife, girlfriend, whatever, she shows up and kills you, and you have to do it all over again from the beginning. And I get to the same spot, and she shows up again, and she murders me. So I'm like, I cannot finish the game. It's like impossible for me at this point, unless somebody like beats her at that one particular joint where I'm stuck in. But yeah, it's a good game. It's a really good game. The gameplay is a 10 out of 10 for me. I love Arkane just in general. Like, the studio does fantastic games, and the powers that they do from their other game that they did too. Well, I forgot what the name of that game is. You played their other games?
Are you talking about Prey?
No, the other games that they did before that one.
Dishonored.
Dishonored, yeah. Because a lot of the powers are from Dishonored. So I love the gameplay loop. This is a fantastic game, but it's also not a game for everybody. Unfortunately, I cannot recommend it to everybody because it's basically like half a roguelike game. So if you're not into roguelikes like me, you can try your best, but it's probably not going to be the game for you. I found too late that it was a roguelike. From the games and everything, for some reason, it never hit me that it was a roguelike. I watched some of the trailers, and I was forced by PlayStation to watch some of them through, like, their Nintendo Direct.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. The 900,000 million Deathloop trailers.
Yeah, exactly. So for some reason, it never clicked to me that this was going to be a roguelike. And I found out too late, you know, by the time that I was playing the game, I was like, ah, shit, this is a roguelike. And I'm not gonna like it. I still liked it. I liked what I played, but unfortunately, you know, like, if you're not into roguelikes, then, you know, it may not be your type of gameplay. That's how I feel about it, unfortunately. It's a good game still, though. Pretty cool. Have you finished it with the game yet?
No, man. I've been starting and needing to finish so many. I've been absolutely the worst with it. I was gonna ask, though, before we train, like, wrap up too much. Do you want to go and throw Demicrow? Because I know Demicrow asked a question at least.
Do you
want to pull that up, or do you want me to read it off?
You can read it off. Yeah, that's fine.
I was just checking them on, obviously, in my brain.
Yeah, he was
there,
like,
will be 9,000 million questions by the end of it. So Demicrow asked, when is the Atlas developed Minecraft turn-based RPG getting released? Also, when is Atlas showing the TGS trailers? When Atlas shows the TGS trailer, will Atlas West post the dub or not? So this is an interesting one I wanted to ask you. Mm. Do you think we're getting the dub soon? Do you have any thoughts on the dub? Mm. Where's your head at with the whole dub situation?
I don't really care if there's a dub. Like, I'll play it off for, like, clicks. But in reality, I don't really care. I'm like, I'm fine if we just get a sub. I'm not really like into like, oh, you know, you have to wait for a dub or anything like that. And I remember recently, because I saw David commented on a pod, I think it was David, he was talking about how like, oh, like, no game is ever gonna be has been delayed for a dub. And I'm like, 13 Sentinels was delayed for a dub. It was delayed by a few days, like a week or two, but it was still delayed.
Oh, yeah.
But that's less of it.
It got delayed for a dub, and more got laid into being made in general. But yeah, I know
right,
what you mean.
Right. Yeah. So, like, to me in general, like, I don't really see it in like, I have to have the dub. You know, like, I'm just like, I want to see some English gameplay and some more English stuff. But in general, if we don't get the dub right away, that's fine. You know, I can wait. But I will at least have the game releasing on time. That's a thing. You know, as long as the game releases on the 12th, is that what it is? November 12th or November 13th?
11, 12, 21.
Yeah. So, yeah, as long as it releases on time, man, that's all I care. I won't cry about it otherwise, you know. What about you? How do you feel? How do you see it on that? Are you, like, worried about the...
I don't think we're getting an English trailer at TGS. That would just be super weird for
that
the
will be strange.
Release
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
I think we'll at least know the final status on the dub. I don't know if it's going to be something that gets patched in. I don't know if they're just being weird, because like, I know there had been work on it. It's all on a lot of outside party hands that like, I haven't honestly like dug into it enough for it, just because a lot of behind the scenes stuff is kind of like up there, not only just with Atlus, but with Nintendo, which makes it a little bit harder now.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, the more it's been delayed and stuff in terms of getting a concrete answer as to why haven't they shown off the English dub so long, I think it's been really interesting for me to know, like, looking at people being like, hey, we don't want this to be like a Q2. We don't want this to be like a Strange Journey Redux. Like, we want this game to have an English dub. Like, people really would be disappointed if that doesn't happen. So I hope they at least kind of finally, for lack of a better word, shit or get off the pod. I just do not expect at all that that's going to happen at TGS. I hope it's earlier, but God knows, like, watch it be like... Because remember, Atlus famously did not show the English dub for 13 Sentinels until the month the game came out.
Right, exactly. So, I personally don't care too much. Like, I just want to see something English-wise and to know, like, it is being worked on, I think. But I don't know. It may be a DLC kind of thing. It may be an updated at a later time. I don't know. But I don't think people should be necessarily worried about it. I think if it was a...
I mean, at the end of the day, they're not going to sell less copies if it's Japanese only. It's not a situation like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel about it. I'm like, you know, it's fine. I don't think anybody's going to, like, it's not in English? I better stop playing. Like, I better cancel my pre-order or something. I think if you're already sold into SMT5, I think that the dub is not going to be your deal breaker. Bigger thing will be a deal breaker, but I don't know. But either way, they've still been doing a lot of more translations for this game. When it comes to like things, for example, they do the they've been doing the Atlus has been releasing like interviews or like talk with Doi as far as the art, and he'll talk about like his ideas for the demon or like why it's designed the way that it is or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? And Atlus West has been actually translating those bits in English, which I thought it was cool. I thought it's a cool thing because it really shows that at least they're trying to appeal more to the Western audience and giving us some of the same stuff. Trailer-wise, we've been getting a lot of the trailers translated too, so although it hasn't been completely perfect, I do think that they've been doing a pretty good job as far as like giving the West more, because I remember some, for example, like some of the Persona trailers, or even Persona 5 Strikers, we got a lot less than Japan did, but this time around,
way less,
exactly. Like, and they were like, we were being getting like a minute trailers instead of like 5 minute trailers. That some of them are like long as hell in Japanese, but now like, opposed to like maybe a few trailers, most of the trailers that have been coming out in Japan, we're getting in the West. Not even like, even day one, like same day, translated in English, which is like, to an Atlus fan, that's never been done before. Like, so like,
no. Yeah, for sure.
So even though it hasn't been spectacular, I think at least I want to say like they've been doing a pretty good job as far as getting us somewhere. You know, so it's not perfect, but it's much better. Definitely. And I do feel bad for the Atlus West team, because I know sometimes they get bad rep for no reason, especially like if you look at the thing with Jesus Christ, what is that, the Persona 5 fiasco, the 25th anniversary thing. I mean, like, people were going hard on them, and I'm like, yo, like, this ain't them. Like, I understand you're pissed right now. And as a fan, I understand where you're coming from, but also like that's not them. Like, you know, like that's really not them. That's not on them. Like, those kind of stuff really comes from the very top, especially something like the 25th anniversary. You think the advertising team is go or like Atlus West has any say on anything? No, absolutely not. And I think that that's where I feel pretty bad about, because like you see them. And you see, like, the reaction, like, oh, I'm sorry about this. Like, I feel bad about it, because, like, the reaction was...
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of it is literally just Japan is the one in charge, and they have very little say at the end of the day.
Exactly. So I feel bad. I do feel bad sometimes when shit like that happens, because like you know fans are going after them for like no reason. Like they don't get to say anything. Unfortunately, that's how things are about it. And you know, it is what it is. It's unfortunate.
Man, I don't mean to be yawning to make it the end, but you want to call it a night there?
I was about to tell you that I'm getting really tired myself. anyway, it's nice to have a chat with you, Spencer. Hopefully we get to do something soon.
Yeah, it's been way too long.
Yeah. Maybe one time we're not exhausted out of our minds here. I'm like 3 podcasts in today. I'm like, I talk way too much. My mouth hurts.
I was going to say, yeah, I would hope you get like just a giant jug of water next to you.
Oh, dude, no, definitely. I do have some stuff over here. But Spencer, thank you so much for coming by. This is the Let's Talk Mega 10 number 25. Spencer, Shin Megami Tensei Network. By the way, does that bother you when people just know you from Shin Megami Tensei Network?
Never, because honestly, I have just as many people, well, probably not just as many, but I get people coming up to me as much for SMT talk as for just general video game talk in general. Yeah. So like, it really doesn't matter. Two new Vita games just got announced today, so all my Vita stuff was just blowing off today. And there so it's go. Just like, it just comes in waves and stuff. So like, hey, back in the day, I used to be the Disney Infinity guy. That's all people would know me for. times change.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I collected this Disney Infinity Star Wars stuff. That was it, really. Nothing else but the Star Wars stuff. It was nice to see that, actually, the Star Wars stuff. But anyway, thank you so much
for coming, guys. If you ever want to like look up a horrifying eBay fact, there's one piece of Kingdom Hearts merchandise for Disney Infinity, and it was D23 really? Exclusive. Yeah, you could. It was a exclusive costume to make Mickey Mouse dress up as King Mickey.
Oh, wow. I never knew.
You think that's bad? If you bought every figure from Disney Infinity 3.0, so all the Disney, all the Star Wars, all the Marvel, you got the Keyblade.
Are you serious?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, wow. And who gets it? Is that Mickey who gets it?
Anyone. Any character could wield it. So Jack Skellington, Tony Stark. Like, that game is wild, dude.
Yeah, it's a great game. I think it died too fast, but if Disney wanted to, they could have done more with it. I think that they gave up too fast on it. But then again, Disney jumps ship really fast most of the time. So I'm not even surprised, but they let it die too fast, I think. But anyway, before we continue talking here, thanks for coming, man. I appreciate everybody
here. Thanks for the invite.
Everybody, like and subscribe if you haven't already. We'll see you guys in the next one. Bye-bye.
Yes.